three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this the 22nd of February at about 3 o'clock on the East Coast. This podcast, we're doing a wrap of the NBL, which for newcomers is the Australian-New Zealand Basketball League. I don't think I need to say that, but we're doing a round 12 recap, a round 13 preview, plus the major topics. I've got them here. We're talking about Tyler Harvey and Illawarra's slump, the rumor, or now confirmed rumor, that the 36ers GM Jeff Van Groningen is on the chopping block, so we're going to make the case. When I say we, I mean myself, Joseph Court, and Andrew Canyon. The case for and against his position. Cairns. Once a small market Cinderella story, now a big time mess. Can the Kings win the crown? And then we're doing a thing called, Andrew, the lost, the least, the left out, and the looked over. The unheralded players of NBL 2022 so far. And the opposite, players whose stock has fallen. So five of each. And then we're going to look forward to round 13. But before that, my co-host, Andrew Canyon.
That may well have been the very best introduction you have ever done to this podcast, my friend. That was lovely. You should listen back to that and just pat yourself on the back. That was very good.
Oh, I appreciate it. I thought I should have got your hello sooner and then got into the topics. But people want to hear the topics first. That's and what, hear if they want to keep listening. Yeah. You know?
Do they delete? You know, like, oh, what a waste of a download this podcast has turned out to be. Or do they keep going with it? I think they should keep going with it because, like, you know, we lay out a menu of topics, but we also we freestyle a little.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this one's going to be fun. We got some biting stuff because the Van Groningen stuff's really interesting. And 36ers have just announced it. But before we jump into those topics, I just want to say Patreon, if you like what you hear, do become a Patreon supporter. We used to have 25. We only have 24.
Ooh, someone left. What did we do?
These things happen. Also, people out there, if anyone wants an Andrew Gaze bobblehead, I'm doing a spring clean. I don't want it. I'll pay the postage and handling. I'll send it to you. First person to get into the DMs of at NBL Pocket Pod on Twitter, you can have it. I'll wrap it up as best I can. It's got a small chip on the thing, but you can have it.
You should have just gotten my DM now. I've just sent it. Does that mean I win? It's like
first
it's
one like in. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. Once the episode, actually, yeah, who cares? If you want an Andrew, I'll give it to
no,
you.
I don't really
people
want
out there,
that's
let
fine.
Me. Also, I want to make
it should
this,
be a Patreon prize yeah. though.
Cool. You've got to be one of the 24 patrons. First of the 24 patrons. Good call.
Unless you sign up to a Patreon, then you're eligible.
Yes, then you're eligible. Yeah. But you'd have to be pretty quick. I want to make a recommendation. Narrowly Meadows put out a podcast with Ryan Brokaw.
I listened to this. Yeah, I got recommended to it by Perth's own Greg Heyer. He told me to listen to it.
I got recommended to it by Perth's own Josh Garlop. Something about Perth people. They like to share good things around. Ordinarily Speaking is what it's called. I haven't actually listened to it yet. The moment we stop doing this, I'm going to listen. You've heard it. What do you think?
I heard it. I loved it. Really, really good. Narrowly Meadows is a good way of getting... Yeah, she's got a sympathetic ear, I think, and she asks not too many questions, lets people speak, gives time for the interview to breathe. And Ryan Brokaw, to his credit, very honest and upfront. And I think obviously it talks about his mental health. That's the main topic. But I think I like the fact how far we're going in this way. There was a real stigma for a longest time about this stuff, and it just feels like all that stigma is, you know, bit by bit being whittled away, and I like it. I like the ability for people to talk freely and not worry that they're going to get, you know, heckled on the court next time they play or something about it. Big step forward.
Did it change your opinion of Brokaw in the season he's having and the seasons he's had?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Gave you don't want to go into too much context. I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
And I don't know if you can spoil it, but I think, you know, you play better and you're just a better person when you're in a good space.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm excited to listen to it, and people out there listen to it. See, on this show, we pump up people's tires in the media. We try what we can. Let's jump into some topics. Let's go to this first one. Tyler Harvey and Illawarra, they're just coming off a loss to who? The Jack Jumpers?
yep.
who are a good team, but let's not kid around. They're not a top four team. They're a miracle team. This is a miracle team. I want to start by this. Why did the Illawarra Hawks lose to the Tasmania Jack Jumpers over the weekend?
Are you asking me or are you,
I'm asking you.
Oh, Jack Jumpers just shot the lights out. It was a,
it was that simple.
I mean, I think that's a game that doesn't happen every time. I think you play that game 10 times and they don't shoot that well, even one of them. You know, this is a freak occurrence. Having said that, it like a Gorgian team just giving up shots like that. Yeah. Wow. How the mighty have fallen.
Well, I said it to you that Sam McDaniel, not known as a shooter, goes 4 of 4 from the outside, 12 points.
Yeah.
Harvey and Jessup combined 2 of 15, 13%. That's Justinian Jessup and Tyler Harvey. They're really good shooters in the league, or at least have that reputation.
Yep.
13%, 2 of 15. I couldn't believe what I saw. I didn't watch it, looked at the box score, and then had to go back and kind of watch some of it, kind of skim it with the condensed highlights.
So what was Josh Adams? He was like 8 of 11, wasn't it?
Unbelievable.
Like, I've watched that. I think I've watched virtually all their games, and he's never been that much of a lights-out shooter. He's streaky, but gee, wow, that's a real streak, 8 of 11.
He's coming off 2 big games, this game, and then he had another big game in a loss, but still, you know, 25-some points. He's an interesting player.
Yeah, he's turned it around because I thought he might be on the chopping block earlier in the season.
Yeah, one of those two. It doesn't seem that way at all. They've totally turned it around.
Yep.
Let's go to Harvey, though, in Illawarra. They shouldn't have lost this game. They're a middling team. Bodynodge.com just has them going from the four into the fraud squad as sort of a bit of a pretender. I'm not willing to go that far just yet, but why is this team not a lockstep for the four?
It's a good question, isn't it?
I don't have the answer, so don't be afraid to say pass.
I've got a theory. I don't know if it's the answer, but I have a theory. There's too many offensive-minded players on the court at any one time. Last season, they had a better balance. They had Justin Simon, who didn't look to score the ball unless it was, you know, an offensive rebound, you know, junk play kind of thing. They weren't running plays for him. This time around, they got to run plays for Duop, Tyler Harvey, obviously. Justinian Jessup, second year of his deal, looking to get more assertive, wants to show his NBA bona fides, so he wants a bit more of the rock. Like, it's just, and then you've got Cleveland, Ratan May, like they're billed as defensive guys to an extent, but they want theirs. And I don't think it's
they do take them. I mean, remember that game where Cleveland shot like 7 threes in the fourth, made one of them. I forget against who, but 5 or 6 games ago. Then are you sort of critical of Brian Gorgian then? Not being able to, this is a good problem to have. You want guys who want to score and shoot and play hard and play well. Is this a Brian Gorgian problem where he hasn't found the mix?
Yeah, I wonder if he was sold a dud bill of goods from one of the agents. You know, because surely Gorgian.
On who?
Probably, well, I'd say Ratan Mays. Who was meant to be the sort of off the bench lockdown defender, right? Sort of the replacement for Justin Simon with maybe a bit more offensive production. I just not seeing it. But then apparently I think Ratan Mays was in some Boomers camps or something. I remember seeing a photo of Boomers training and he was in the background. So it's not like it was sight unseen.
I don't know. Listen, I can't place it, and I'm going to watch more of their games to try and figure it out, but Harvey is the one for me. He's gone from 19.5 points per game to 15. Doesn't sound like a huge drop. It is. It's a quarter of his points. But the funny thing is I don't hate this team. Their EDIF difference between offensive, they're still a top four team by that stat, which is a pretty good gauge. We're going to talk about Sydney later, whether they've leapfrogged them, but is this just a simple fact? That Brian Gorgian, even with Brian Gorgian, the might of Brian Gorgian, Boomer's coach, the Illawarra Hawks just can't fight the fact that they're a small market team. And now that COVID has eased, the big boys are happy to spend again, and it's inevitable that they'll be crushed. That's the tune he's playing in the press conferences, where he goes, oh, I've seen this with this team all the time. Sort of deflecting blame a little bit, which kind of bothers me from Gorgian. Where he's kind of like, oh, this is Illawarra. I've seen this all the time, where they win one year and they're bad the next. The building consistency in their program is not a thing. And I'm like, well, that's on you, Caution. It's basically the same team. It's a good roster, I think. I don't see any huge lopsidedness. It's kind of like, oh, do you think that's a valid reason or not? I'm still debating that as well.
He's got a point in that that's what Illawarra have always done, but he's And he's been really clear that he doesn't want that to be the case anymore. And that's why he and Dori Kodahi, you know,
Kodahi? One of the two. I don't know.
Yeah, breathe new life into this club. And they said that was their goal. They want to be equivalent to one of these big guys, the big teams. I don't know. I'm not really answering your question there.
No, that's all right.
I was just going to say, I worry for the Hawks because they've had a lot of home games.
Yeah.
They've had 10 home games and 5 away games, if I'm doing my maths correctly. And they're 5 and not good. Their split's 5 and 5 at home. 5 wins, 5 losses.
Not good.
They hit the road at the back end of the season. They're in big trouble.
Throw in a little bit of COVID trouble if it happens.
Yeah.
They're precarious, aren't they?
Yeah.
When we talk about the Kings, we'll talk about what their run home has been like. I want to say this. Harvey, going back to him, like his free throws are down a bit. He's shooting about half the number of free throws he did last year. Maybe there's something with Reith throwing off the space in the keyway for his runner and all that. I haven't seen it, but maybe. The other thing I want to say is this. Emmett Nahr, and this is a theory I'm going to throw out, but I actually don't like the reasoning myself, but I want to throw it out. Emmett Nahr has played 4 of 15 games this season, just less than a quarter of the games available. He's playing 3 minutes per game in those games. Last season, played 37 of 39, 14 minutes per game.
Right.
As inexplicable as it may seem to have a guy out there who can't shoot and appears unimpactful, Gorgian's running out of options on this one. And I think as Harvey goes, as Illawarra goes, so maybe you want some minutes where it's Nahr bringing the ball up, Harvey kind of catching and shooting a bit more, not off the dribble. It's a thought. It's a theory. If we start seeing Nahr play some more, Gorgian thinks the same way. But you know what Gorgian's motto is, like if you're going to be on the court and not shoot the ball when you're open on a reversal, I may as well have a 6'10 guy out there or a bigger guy. Nahr is an interesting conversation, and I wonder if it changes on the floor for them going forward.
Yeah, it's probably worth a try. I think anything is at this point. And speaking of 6'10 guys, why not give AJ Ogilvy a bit of a run?
Well, they've just gone from what worked last year to something totally different.
Yeah.
And that's Sam Frolling minutes. And I don't know.
That's where you say you get back to the point we were making earlier about being the same as the big teams and consistency. You know what those guys have? Yeah, right. They have the same players turning up year in, year out.
And they've got Ogilvy, who was a starter. But they've got Harvey, who was there last year.
So it's in name only, right? They're now at the bottom of the bench. Yeah.
Exactly. That's where I'm kind of like, when Gorgian said that press conference, I was like, yeah, well, make it happen. You know, you've been around the league a long time. But then it also comes a question of, you go.
I was going to say,
I think you're about to ask what I'm about to ask.
Is Gorgian done? Is he too old?
Oh, come on. He just won a bronze medal. No, I don't think so.
By his own admission, he said he didn't have to do much coaching in that team.
Yeah, it's true. You don't have to coach any of these professional teams. You just roll the ball out and hope they listen to you. I think remains to be seen. I'll see how this leads. I mean, they were good last year. That's the thing. They made the 4 last year. That's really difficult to do, and they did it. So, no, I'm not pulling the pin on Gordon. What I am going to say is soft cap league, you know.
Yeah.
Perth and Melbourne have made the grand final in the last 5 years or thereabouts. Sydney, the one exception, or those two always abound around it. You know, is the natural course of things now that COVID's easing just coming back into play? Where it's we're Perth and we're Melbourne, we've got more money and we're going to crush you.
Yeah,
you're a steelwork town, jerk water bird. Get back in your box. I don't know. We'll see. Let's jump on. Let's talk about this 36ers, Jeff Van Groningen. So we'd heard this rumor a while ago, so we were making the case for and against, thinking that Adelaide would, of course, be cagey and not release information. But they've done it. They're getting rid of him in a couple of days.
Yep.
Yeah. But we're still going to do it. We're going to make the case, like, should they have done this, should they not, instead of should they or shouldn't they.
Yeah.
So for people that don't know, 36ers GM, Jeff Van Groningen, was on the chopping block. He's now gone. Whether he's walked away or pushed. Actually, I'll ask that straight question to you, Andrew. Has he walked? Has he been pushed?
He's burnt his bridges and he's been run out of town, just like he's been run out of all the other towns that he's spent
mid-season. They couldn't have let him go for that. Adelaide loves firing people. at the inopportune time. Connor Henry in quarantine. Joe Wright with years left on his deal. They love firing guys. The import changes last year. They love crazy decisions.
He announced the release comes out on the 22nd of February, announcing resignation effective 25th of February.
Like what?
If it's a resignation, you usually give like a transition time, a bit of a handover. It's not exactly a resignation.
It's like when Gaze stepped down before the finals. You know, like, I'm leaving at the end of the season. That is when, you know, and there's a soft landing, a runway to take off. This is just, I'm leaving 3 days' time. What a,
hit the bricks, Adelaide, man.
Who are you fooling? Tell me, you had a funny, what was your take on the actual wording of the report? Because we were critical, and Nick Tan, who sent it, critical of the last release they put out. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, so I described this as a word salad. I read it and thought, what on earth is, like, what a load of just guff. And it doesn't start off well. Can I just say that Jeff joined the club in December 2019 and oversaw a period of change and stability. Which is it, Jeff? Is it change or is it stability?
He has not written this. He couldn't have.
Well, by my mind, change and stability are not synonyms. So which is it?
Polar opposites. Change and stability. That I actually stopped reading at that point and said, no, this is a skim. And I skimmed down to look, okay, he's leaving on that date. And I didn't, I'm not going to read that many words for what is two sentences. He's leaving this date. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Anyway, let's make the case. Okay, so let's make the case for Jeff Groningen. Should they have kept him on? Is he a good GM? Was he a good GM of the 36ers? So let's make the case for. We'll kind of go back and forth a little bit. We'll do it together.
Tee off. What do you got?
What are his good points? Well, they say it in the release. This is the one thing I read. Recruited Josh Giddey. I don't feel that club makes enough of a splash about that. They should just be hammering that. Yeah, Adelaide 36er, Josh Giddey just got a triple-double. Adelaide 36er did this. They should be banging that. Their social team doesn't do a good enough job of that. Maybe they're not allowed because of riots or something. I don't know, but that's a pretty big coup. That's Josh Giddey. He's going to have a 15-year NBA career and be a big name in the sport. And he played for their club. Big deal.
Yep.
What do you think? Do you think it's Josh Giddey damaged the club by coming there and instead of them getting, say, William McDowell White signed that year, a few other point guards.
Because I think he contributed well for them in that season. And I think there's plenty of teams that have a one and done player, whether it's an import or a local. So I think that's fine. He did what he needed to do in that year.
It was a splash too. He got eyeballs. They had huge crowds there that year, 7,000 for Adelaide.
So I think that's well done, Van Groningen, for getting that done. So credit to him there.
What about and then the other one, Kai Soto, big signing, business decision, not so much on floor, but business decision.
Although, to be fair, Soto's showing improvement, I think.
I actually quite like him.
And I think without Humphries there, it's been really important to have.
I agree. I actually quite like his game. I think he's real young, and in a couple of years, he'll actually be something. Yeah. He's got good hands, and he dunks around the hoop. He is JLA, but lighter. In frame. And the other thing is with Giddey, though, actually the next one, the four and the excuse you can make for Van Groningen, the injuries to Humphries.
Yeah.
He was one of your marquee locals and he goes down.
He was a marquee signing, wasn't he? I'm sure he was. As the official terminology. Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. I think there was a little bit of skullduggery involved with Humphries and Giddey. They're both represented by the same agent. I think it was, Josh Giddey. He'll be your next star. But you got to take Humphries on a huge deal. I've said that from there's no way. Because I remember when Humphries signed, I think he was the third highest paid local, or maybe even the most, before that COVID year with the NBL Cup.
Yeah.
There's no way on what he had shown he was worth that much money. So I think it was sort of you'll get two players for the price of one, but you got to pay one more than the other. So I get my split. I just a thought. And if I'm wrong, contact me. Mitch McCarron. Sign Mitch McCarron. Good player, you think, or not so much?
Good player. Probably not played to his potential this year. But I don't think that's necessarily the fault of Van Groningen. You know, they saw an opportunity to get a good point guard and went for it. And then the last thing I'd say is he signed CJ. Well, I think he's responsible for CJ. Yep. But it was a last-minute appointment after they'd – it was like we're running out of options. Everybody else has said no to us.
Yeah, but he's a young, energetic coach, seemingly sort of development coach in step with their timeline and what they're kind of who they are.
Yep.
So that's pretty good. And then Cam Bairstow signing, which you could see as both a positive or a negative. We'll go the positive slant. Pick this guy off the scrap heap and he's been super impactful.
Yep.
That's a job well done, sort of. I will say this. McCarron, Giddy, Humphreys, Mojave King, they're all the one agency. Let's go the case. This is going to be more fun. The case against Jess Van Groningen. Where are his foibles? Let's hear him, Andrew King.
Okay, well, I'd ask you where or what has he actually ever achieved? And I was just, this is a quick little note I went, so it may not be complete. It was just off the top of my head. But I thought Brisbane, he was in Brisbane, where he spent Eddie Grove's money. Then he went to Sydney and spent TSG money.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to Adelaide.
And AEG.
AEG. Yeah. So it was in that. I couldn't quite remember which ownership era he was there, but I knew he was
put
spending
together
his time.
That. Got Bogut, but I think that was more because of a F up by United, and then built that Randall, David Ware, Ray Turner, Andrew Gage coached mess. Yeah.
It was a mess.
Yeah, sorry, you're saying.
But I'm not even onto the players yet. This is just, and then Adelaide, he spent Grant Kelly money. So really, JVG is just really good at finding wealthy owners, selling them the snake oil, and then having a good ride for a couple of years.
You got the daggers out. How's for that? JVG. You got the daggers.
Well, he's such a good salesman. I listen to the guy, and I'm like, I really like this guy. I really like him. And I'm just listening to him on some random podcast or something. If he was trying to
I think it could have been me over the phone. I did had him on, and he was. He's very, very charming fella, for sure.
Yeah, I know. You imagine if he's like looking at your payroll. You know, it'd be like, how could you resist the guy?
It's like when Jafar uses the, what do you call that, staff on the Sultan, and he just glazes over and gives over his money and his daughter. Here's the other against. The 36ers are still playing three coaches, one of which wasn't really Van Groningen's fault, but the other two were obviously getting rid of Henry, bringing in Bruton. I think the fundamental flaw he made as far as winning games, over-trusting and overpaying Humphreys on the strength of a tiny NBA and G League sample size, and then about, 10 to 12 productive games over the last 2 years. It just hasn't. But we could see it coming. We could see it coming that this guy was going to get hurt, and you had to have. Maybe they have got situations in the deal they can get out of it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Do
you reckon the final?
Yep, you were saying.
Just diverting a little bit. Was the final straw on this the fact that they didn't get Jerome Randall?
Nah, Jerome Randall's done, man. Remember, he did his knee. He was looking done. What do you think?
He's desperately trying to get out of Ukraine at the moment. I think Jerome Randall, and that was the rumor.
Yeah, right, shit.
That was the rumor that 36 are getting a new player, and it turned out not to be Randall.
Yeah, that's squashed. Okay. Randall's just come off the knee. He'd be, mid-30s? He wasn't a winner. No one can pad stats like Jerome Randall. If you want the most unimpactful 15-6, he is a pro at that there's a quarter left. I'm on 4 points. I got to do something.
Some of those mid-range jumpers.
He was great. It's just not happening anymore. Yep. The other thing with Van Groningen, two of their local talents are off their team playing better seasons, Jack McVay and Keanu Pinder.
Yes.
So they let those two guys go, who are minimum guys who are now having pretty good impact on two other teams.
Yep.
The 36ers, I've written this here, have more limp American imports coming in and out than a Bangkok brothel when the USS Oklahoma is in port. Withers and Sloan, probably the worst of the lot. And now the very average Crocker, Brandon Paul, Hannes.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is with them is the production's some of them poor, some of them pretty average, but none of them are hanging around. Everyone else has kind of got that import that's staying around.
Yes.
Tyler Harvey, Cotton, who's in Melbourne? Not them, but a couple of teams have got guys hanging around.
Yeah,
Brisbane,
Machado
and Cairns. Thank you very much. Everyone's kind of got something. Well, okay, we've got a hook to hang stuff on. Adelaide, it's just a total revolving door, and that never works in this league.
Yeah,
bad. And then we talked about Cam Bairstow before. It's a strength that look, I signed this player and he's good. Yeah, but he's the one success, one recruiting general managerial success story you've had. And you had all these things at your disposal, your import slots, which are most important,
yeah.
Whiffed on those. And the one thing you've done well is the very last signing of your camp.
Yep.
And you got lucky that the guy's been healthy. That's a bad stroke. Yeah. Naughty, naughty, Jeff Van Groningen. So I'll make this case. Ultimately, they're 5-7 at present. They were 13-23 last season. That's 18-30 over a year and a half. Yeah. Is that fireable?
Yeah.
I think so.
And at a higher club level as well, I don't feel like they have much of an identity. I don't really – like the 36ers used to have a real clear identity of what they were about. You know,
There was Perth, Melbourne, Adelaide.
Yep.
Adelaide are so far off the pace now. Sydney have overtaken them in relevance. Maybe even Southeast Melbourne, kind of.
I think they have.
It's not a
good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the Jack Jumpers are already on their way to doing it too. Like,
Jack Jumpers, you just are definable. They have they're a statue and the clay is on it. You can see what's happening. Adelaide, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What is this team? Who are they?
Yeah.
And it's bad.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. Under Joey Wright, they were 12-16. They're not going to come anywhere near that record, I don't think.
No.
They're 5-7 at present. No, if they win more than 12 games, and, you know, that's Joey Wright. And I think, what would you say was the death blow for Van Groningen, if there has been one in this instance?
Oh, it's hard to know if there's a death blow. I think it's the imports. I think if you're going to point it at anything, it's just a lack of import quality that he's gotten through the door. I don't think that's actually what caused it at the end. I reckon it's probably a more personal thing. I think eventually you realize that the guy selling you a monorail is not going to build the monorail and you get him out of here. And I think that's what's happened.
I think he's maybe gone, CJ, you just take over recruiting and one less paycheck around the place. Yeah. I honestly will say this. I think JVG's fatal flaw was this, not salvaging that Joey Wright relationship. And for a couple of reasons. Number one is you had him contracted.
Yeah.
Unless you could have said to him, hey, if you don't want to coach the team, that's fine, but you're walking away from your money. I wouldn't have fired him. And if Grant Kelly's there going, fire this guy, get him out, I would have said, no, we have him under contract. Let's either one, squeeze him until he walks, or make him coach the team. He's a really good coach, and we have him on contract. Let's just do it. And then I would have said, listen, Grant Kelly, Joey Wright, Cowboys, Indians, sit down. I'm going to be the intermediary. You two are never going to work together, never see each other, speak to each other ever again. Yep. Joey, you want to speak to Grant? You do it through me and the other way around.
Yeah.
Let Joey Wright be the coach and not have to deal with that sort of stuff. Because here's the problem. Adelaide, to me, you look at who they've put on the floor the last couple of years, their spend is of a small market team. They're not Perth. Yep. They're not Melbourne. They're not spending that kind of money, and you can tell. They cut corners all the time. And if you're Van Groningen, I would have said to Grant, if you're going to look to spend that little amount of money, you need a coach like Joey Wright or Rob Beveridge, guys who have a reputation for being difficult, but they also get you wins.
Yeah, and players want to go play for them because they know they're going to get better.
And they recruit well. They find talent where it's not. Brendan Tees was playing 20 minutes a game in that 12-16 Adelaide team. And, you know, they find talent. I mean, that team with Jerome Randall past his prime, Eric Griffin, the most reckless player we've seen in the last couple of years, Dan Dillon, Brendan Tees, Johnson, like how that team got to 12 and they got there. So that was, I think, Van Groningen's whether he had a hand in that or any way to change that relationship remains to be seen, but it's what had to be done.
Yeah. Very good.
Let's move off JVG. Good luck to him, though. Well, he's a nice guy. We don't have nothing wrong with him, but good luck to him.
No, he's polarizing.
Cairns, Andrew Kenyon. Once a small market Cinderella story, now a big time mess. This is a team that's gone from 17-13 and really a 1-point loss, a 107-108 overtime loss to the champion Wildcats in NBL 20, to now likely two-time Wooden Spooners. You know, if they won that game one, and then, you know, who knows, maybe they make the finals that year, the grand final. Now they're going to win the spoon 2 years in a row, or at least could do. Why? Why have they gone from the good team to a bad team, and why are they the team they are this year?
Yeah, well, I'll just go a bit further to say this team's now borderline unwatchable. They used to be a fun underdog team. I don't give a stuff about this Cairns team anymore. Mm. I'm out. I'm not interested. I see them coming
what
up.
Do you, what like, do you dislike?
I don't like their style. I don't like their intent. It's just like street ball. Like I don't see any point to this team. Not into them. Just don't like them.
they hang around games in the first half and then they just get totally scattered. They do look bad. I mean, they're currently 3-8. Oh, do you think they'll stay at the bottom, or do you think maybe they can jump over someone like New Zealand? New Zealand looked terrible.
New Zealand, holy moly. It's the battle of who's going to be worst, right? But
not that it really matters. Like, they're both done, they're finished, their season's over, but who is going to finish bottom?
Probably New Zealand will finish bottom.
They've got the travel. They've got no home games. They're a nightmare.
Yeah, and I think they've got more imports that will just check out entirely.
Yes.
Whereas Cairns...
There's bad blood there. Besson is not liking his time there. There's friction there for sure.
I mean, how many imports... I mean, they let go of what's his name the other week?
Jeremiah Martin.
Yeah. He'd obviously
had bringing another.
And you're living in such close confines as well. Like, people start to really piss you off more quickly.
I think they'll get above New Zealand, but that doesn't make... It doesn't mean that they're a good team. They're so far off the pace, and they used to be good. And they had this, Cam Oliver and DJ Newball and Machado healthy, and they were it. And good locals like Majuk Deng had big games for them.
Noi.
Kenny was punching in. Noi kind of not quite so much, but had games early, was looking all right. Juwai was impactful.
They had Krizlovic back in the day, you know.
Krizlovic chipping in. They had guys who were helping them play. Now they just don't. They're bottom in points per game. They're last in offensive rating, second last in effective field goal. They just don't score well at all. And to compound that, a couple of injuries. Only Bulkwal, Keanu Pinder, Zimmerman, and Majuk Deng have played all 11 games. The rest have either missed one or a couple. Machado's missed a ton.
Yeah,
I don't know. I still think they play hard. But there's a lack of talent and winning acumen, and it presents itself.
Yeah,
they just fall apart. I want to say this as well. Noyes missed time, and we're going to talk about him later as far as our stocks up and stocks down players, or at least I am. But also Juwai. Juwai used to be an impactful, punchy player for this team. Come in, score 8 points real quickly, drive up the foul count against opponents.
Yeah.
The two of them have only played 10 games combined. They're 3-8, so they've played 11 games. So both of them have only played 10 games. And then Machado with timeouts and injury. But Juwai, is he done? Is he hurt? Why has he only played 4, 5, 6 games and barely played in them?
Well, yeah, I think he's just done. I think he's a mismatch, and he's a negative mismatch whenever he's out there. Mm. He's very old style center. You know, you don't really have those anymore, do you? The big immobile units. And I don't think he has the talent or speed anymore to be able to create an advantage at his end. So I think it ends up being a net negative to have him on the court. He's getting old.
Interesting to see him. But just also in a league that has reffed against him for a decade.
You know,
it just doesn't. I mean, this is the question. Is what Gordon says about this. What we're seeing is small market teams have success and then straight to the bottom. When the stars don't totally align, they're a perennial stink fest. And this is the problem with these small market teams is ask this question. Can Cairns, and to a lesser extent Illawarra, but can Cairns build sustained success over time? I'm not so sure.
I don't think they can, because every time they build success, they get raided. Yeah, you know, that's just...
Yeah. Newball, gone. Cam Oliver. That Cam Oliver's a situation where, if people are being honest, there's a failure by management there. He wanted out of that team and forced his hand out for sure. There's something going on there.
Yeah. And I mean, unless you want to live in a tropical climate in a small town, you know, some people are all about that. You know, it's like, oh, that's a nice chill lifestyle. But people who are looking for big success in a relatively short basketball career, they want the bright lights and the big cities.
And the bigger money.
Yeah. I think it's always going to be a challenge for them.
And, they just haven't got that linchpin local. Even when they were successful, they just haven't got that local who's good.
Yep.
No offense to those guys there, but, you know, they haven't got the Golding or even Mitch Norton or so on and so forth.
Yeah. You need a boomer's representative somewhere in the mix, don't you?
You need a boomer or boomer B in there somewhere. I can't even name their locals right now. Bull Qual's their best local. It came out of nowhere. Let's jump on. You want to talk about this. Kings. Can the Kings win the crown is the question. They look pretty good over Perth. Let's talk about that game and then the Kings in general. What do you think of that game against Perth?
That game was it was quite the game, actually. It was fun one to watch, wasn't it? We had
high scoring in the hundreds and no overtime.
Bryce Cotton versus Jalen Adams, really. I think Sydney are starting to present their bona fides, and I think they are now presenting a real challenge. If I had them next in my fixture and I had to play that team, I'd be getting pretty nervous because they've got weapons all over the place at this point. And it looks like they really start to come together and figure things out. I think Sydney could really do some damage in the back half of this season.
I think going back to the game specifically, I thought Majuk and Kevin White late in games, that's a no for me. Sydney were up 7 points with a minute to go and were falling out of bounds, fouling, giving up wide open threes.
Yeah.
Deary me.
They need a bit of chill. Need to take some
poise,
chill.
Yeah.
Poise.
Totally.
I think that'll come.
I'm not so sure. But are they a contender? The answer is yes, because of this simple fact. Here's their closing five. Adams, Clark, Swaka with a little bit of Vucevic, depending upon what you need.
Yep.
Jarrell Martin, Cooks. That's a really good. There's no weakness in that lineup. Swaka, like a little bit. Like, how's the shot going? Are they going to leave him on an island? Yeah. I'm not so worried about Swaka.
I think he's fine. He's defensively solid. Yeah.
Totally. So they've got like that's a. And you look at Perth, you're like, who's their closing five again? Is it Hodgson or Majuk on the floor? Is it Law up high?
Wagstaff at the five.
Wagstaff. Is Frazier a part of things? So it's good to know. And that's a really solid five. And then the other thing is this. In that game, and I think games going forward, import production. This league's about the imports of your trump card, your Uno, for people more with that analogy. You've got to get production out of it. You go.
Sorry, I was just thinking, you mean draw four card? Is that where you go?
Draw four, pardon me. I don't play Uno. Sorry about that. This is your joker in the hole. And in this game, Wildcats, import production from three of them, 49 points at 26%. You can tell who shot at a good percentage and put up lots of those points and who didn't.
Yep.
Whereas the Kings, import production, 65 points, 57%. Light day, and I don't see that dropping anytime soon. Clark, that was his first game, and
just a microwave off the bench.
But Adams and Martin are very solid, both of them. They're coming into form. Adams a bit shaky now, but now that he's got some games, they're good. So that import production, lock it away for the Kings, and therefore, they're definitely a question for the crown.
Yep.
Speaking, going the other side, import production, Vic Law. Two bad games in a row now, like big games where he had to step up. And here's my criticism of Vic Law, 26 years old, only really played in the G League and a tidy bit of NBA. He's not overseas, even at 26. He's not an overseas seasoned pro like a Casper Ware, like a Bryce Cotton. So we're midway through the season and this is where his bad games come. You know, he had 14 points, 4 of 13. I'm not saying he's small time. But is he battle hardened and ready to forge wins through the course of a 28 game season? Or is he kind of like, I've put up good stats. Like, where's my call up? I'm riding this bus all the way. You know, it's a different mindset and it's very difficult. And I'm not criticizing for it. I'm just saying, you know, maybe it's a change in mentality. So I just want to put that out there. What do you think of it, Law?
Yeah, I think that's very perceptive. I think he, his mindset is where will make or break him. He needs, you know, he's a really good player, but he also needs to realize that he's not the top banana, and that
shot
he needs to work within the team for him to be successful. Because if he
and also be able to,
can we break down that play? Can we break it down?
Yeah,
a little
do
bit?
It. You go.
We're talking about so there's 15 odd seconds left in the game. Bryce Cotton's got the ball out high. There's arguments being made that he could have just held on to it. To the dying death. I don't think that's how Bryce Cotton plays at all. And I think he made the right basketball play in that he passed it to Vic Law at the 45, sort of at the sponsor logo area.
Came up.
Expecting to be able to cut, get a screen, come back around, relocate, and be able to get the ball back.
Well, let's just, there was 15 seconds. Let's say 14 was seconds on the clock. I'll count 14 seconds. We'll have 14 seconds of silence and we'll just feel how long that is. Here we go. Okay. Starting now. $14,000. That was it there. That is long enough for Cotton to give it up and get it back.
Yep.
And that's what he did. That's what he gave it up for with the anticipation of. And
Vic Law just jacked it. Yeah.
It was a panic move. No one could describe it as anything else, I don't think.
And I wonder, speaking back to Vic Law's mindset, was he pissed off like earlier he got benched with the ripped shirt? No, yeah, so something had happened. Somebody had ripped his shirt. So maybe a bit of anger about that. He's casting his mind back to the last game where there was a bit of biffo. And then he sits on the bench and stews for a long time. And he's not back in the game until the final, what, maybe 3 minutes, 2 minutes?
Was he back on court? Free throws. Yeah, he hit those free throws to kind of bring it back within, probably 3 minutes, last 3 minutes.
And I just wonder if it was a bit of an FU shot. You know, like that mindset thing. It's like just, I'm going to win this.
I don't know. It was so out of character. It did not look good, and it was not high percentage at all.
No.
And not, it's not Wildcats. You get the ball to Cotton and politely get the F out of the way. Frazier, though, I mean,
put a line,
is he going to play in crunch time? I'm going to ask this question. We've talked about whether they should move on from Frazier. Yep. Now I'm asking you, will they? This is the Wildcats. We're halfway through the season. It's now or never to pull the pin. Will they, yes or no? If you had to bet, gun to the head, are the Wildcats going to move on Frazier?
Yes. And I reckon they'll have a guy ready to go at the first home game. And they're giving Frazier the opportunity to come back, collect his stuff, because they were not expected to be on the road for this long. So you can't just depart him from Sydney because he's got half his possessions back in Perth. So you bring him back to Perth. You say, thanks very much. Here's your severance check. And see you later.
Blame it on an injury and he's out the door. One of the many Wildcat cast-offs. I think they're going to do that. The only thing that holds me back is Scott Morrison, new coach, nice guy. Does he have the guts to kind of cut someone? Mike Kelly, perennial nice guy. Does he have the guts to kind of go to management and also say in lockstep with everyone, that's shit can this guy. And then Hutchie, first year as Wildcat. He's done it with Melbourne for a while, but I think at the end of the day, they'll get over themselves and go, this is not working. We're paying someone surplus for requirement.
Yep. And for the moment, Frazier's probably quite convenient still having the roster because Blanchfield keeps getting injured. Give Blanchfield a chance to get that injury sorted out. So you've got Blanchfield. Kevin White will get a bit more time again. And you have Luke Travers. And they just all fill that spot. And you get a big guy. Problem solved.
And you get someone. You just get a player who's going to, whether it's a wing, whether it's a small, whether it's a big, someone who's going to do more than 2 points at 0% from the field.
Yeah.
Bless Frazier. I actually think Frazier's, it just hasn't worked out. Maybe a bit hurt, whatever. Cotton. That's a hard mix. Just hasn't worked out. Hasn't worked. Full stop. Let's jump on. This is something I call the last, the lost, the least, the left out, and the looked over, the unheralded players of NBL 22 so far. So, Andrew, I've put together five guys who I think have come out of nowhere to improve their stocks. We'll do who's done depreciating after, but I want to run these five guys by you, and then we've both put together our list of guys whose stocks have fallen. Yep. Because we want to pump as well as dump. Here are five guys who come from nowhere to have a good season.
Okay.
Bull Quoll, guy on a minimum.
Yep.
Playing well. Had that huge 3-point game, put him on the map. That team's not great, but there's been minutes up for grab, and he's taking a run with it.
Yep.
Jack McVay was done in Adelaide.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, slow start.
But he's had a couple of big games where you can see. Although he's had the bad start, you can see where he'd be impactful for most, if not all, NBL teams.
Yeah.
The free agency, that all go, he's a biggish guy, can kind of defend and shoot.
Yeah.
I think he's done well for himself. Keanu Pinder.
I
thought he was I thought he was bad in Adelaide. He looks amazing. He has a highlight play every week. He is the most athletic player in the NBL.
Yeah.
By far.
Yep.
And he plays well and is impactful. Again, hard to tell on a team that's, you know, a perennial loser, but I still think so. He's a guy who made a name for himself in only a very short period of time. Lachlan Barker, Southeast Melbourne, came out of nowhere, put up points, can't really defend his position. Sorry, Lachlan, but if you just want a little gunner who can come in and score some points, I thought maybe he could get a look in next year. I thought, especially because you're talking about a mid-season signing.
Yeah.
I quite liked him. What do you think?
Yeah, he looked really good, confident, came in ready to shoot the ball.
Oh.
Didn't look intimidated at all. I like him a lot. Probably the best moustache in the league.
Perhaps. And then the guy to me who's come out of nowhere to bounce back, and this is, he had a good rep on him before, but now I feel like he's over. Jack White. I really feel like he has gone from being a good role-ish player to getting hurt. I mean, those Achilles injuries, they're not something to be trifled with. They're really bad. And he has come back just as explosive, just as aggressive. I think he may have the best body control in the NBL. His ability to take contact, get him right. He's never off balance. He never looks awkward on the floor. He always looks good. So he's a guy who at the end of the offseason or when he's out of contract could say to any team, I could be your linchpin local, which is worth a couple of $100,000.
Yeah.
And that's I don't know what his deal's on now. He'd be on decent money. He was at Duke and he's at fair age. He's 20 something, but he is a guy who,
he's a franchise corner piece, isn't he? Yeah.
The Wildcats would be like, he's our Nick Kay replacement and we'll pay for him if we have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Imagine if Jack White joined the Wildcats and it was Law, Travers, and him. It's a way better team than Hodgson and Majuk, no offense to them. So
definitely.
He's a guy who's made money for himself. The guy I want to also mention, Marshall Nelson of Cairns. I know it's hard. Cairns, there's a lot of free minutes going around because they're garbage, but he's got game. I really like his play.
Yeah, he's feisty.
He can score, but they don't like locals who can score in the NBL. They kind of farm that off their imports, but I like Marshall Nelson.
He's got a bit of attitude.
Oh, he's got a nasty attitude. Now let's do what's more fun. Now we sound like bad people. Oh, you got some?
You missed one. You missed one. I was sure it would come up.
Stocks have risen,
Yeah. Lamar Patterson.
Stocks have risen? Oh, yeah, considering how low they were.
I mean, he was terrible last year and, it was out of shape. I'm surprised.
He was cut mid-season. Yeah. Well, here's why I haven't. I just think he's in a different category. When you're talking about import, people would look at him and go, all right, Brisbane might want him back because it's convenient, but what team is going, gee, if we can just add Lamar Patterson, he's the next piece for us. I don't think anyone's looking at him with that. He's our missing piece and we'll pay for it. I think that the history's out on Lamar Patterson now where he'll take you to just below 500 and just out of the four. And I like him. He's a good player, but needs a very particular roster and certain help around him. So no, I didn't have Lamar Patterson.
Okay.
Is there anyone, I sprung this on Andrew, apologies to people listening, and Andrew, is there anyone who I've forgotten who you're like, oh, maybe also did you think about
Rising Stock?
JLA is an obvious one, that's too obvious.
Too obvious, isn't it? No, I think it's a pretty good list. I don't see anybody jumping out. There's a few on the bubble, like you might, sort of like the Wani Swakala Bullock, definitely gotten better. But is he?
Yeah, he was
in Rising Stock. I'm not sure about that.
So. Let's play the other side of the coin. Players whose stocks have fallen.
Yep. I did my work on this side of the coin.
Let's go one for one. You go one, I'll go one. You go first.
I'm going to start at the bottom of my list and then work up to the...
As in the least
fallen. Okay. So this is of the list of those fallen, this is the least fallen, AJ Ogilvie. Now,
really?
I think, he played a really important part last season and he's stuck on the bench this season. So he's fallen, but I'm blaming coaching more than him. So he's at the bottom of my list.
Edit point here. I've got to dash to the bathroom for 2 seconds.
All right.
Okay. All right, I'm back.
All right.
For the listeners, I just went to the bathroom there, but because I have AirPods in when I go and did my business, I could actually hear Andrew kind of breathing or just moving around in my ear. So it felt like he was standing behind me, which was not a great feeling. But let's jump on with this. So five players whose stocks have fallen. You just gave – who did you just give?
AJ Ogilvie.
I'm going to go with this guy, Anthony Drimmick. Currently 100th in the league in PER, just hasn't quite stepped up in the absence of Sobey. I quite like Anthony Drimmick as a player.
Yep.
I think he's just had a kid. He's 29, turning 30 this year. And, you know, he's probably been bit on the bottom by the business of basketball a lot. So the last thing he needs is us talking this sort of shite about him. But, I mean, we're in service of the people, patrons of the show. I think that, yeah, just hasn't stepped up in that absence. And is he hurt? I've seen tweets from him put out that he's never quite healed since college and they've mishandled his medical stuff. Maybe the case, but I'm like, Anthony Drimmick without Sobey there should be, you know, a dependable 15 points.
Yeah.
And their top line defender, and you know, he should be that. And I just, he's not popping for me off the page. So I don't think a lot of teams would be looking at him going, you know, he's a piece for us or what have you. Anthony Drimmick.
Yeah. I thought about putting him on my list and then decided not to, just because I think he's kind of is what he is. I don't feel like he's, I feel like he's just given me kind of what I always expected. So I didn't have him, didn't have him on. But
see, I have expected Anthony Drimmick. It's a big name. I quite like Anthony Drimmick.
My next one, it's another sort of in the...
And sorry to add, and the fact that so many people have left Adelaide and played so much better. Is the other thing. Harry Froling, so on and so forth. Go on.
Yeah, very quick one. Kevin White, he's coming off a huge grand final series last year and now nailed to the bench once again. And when he does get on, his shot's not falling. And just, but he's an older guy, so he had low stocks to begin with. So sorry, Dan Ewing. I'm going to hear it.
I'm going to go similar player in a similar vein, Sean Bruce of Sydney.
Yeah, I had him next.
30% from the field. There you go. Well, great minds. 18% from three. I think Adams has cannibalized his position. I feel like without Weaver there and without Ford there, there's just not that spot for a – I don't think – Ford and Weaver kind of knew his strength as far as a cerebral older player of the league. I think Chase Buford's like, Sean Bruce never heard of this guy. You know, I'm going with my American imports. Yep. You know, he doesn't even put Vasiljevic in at the end of the game. You know, he's, and that's his mindset. I just, and plays a very free flowing pick and roll, think about it offense. And maybe it's not the structure that Sean Bruce is. He just hasn't had a good year, but that's my rationale for it. Maybe it's something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who else?
My next, I couldn't split these two, so I put them on the same line.
Fine.
Yeah. Ruben Tarangi and Liafa.
All right, I don't have Liafa.
Sorry?
I do not have Liafa on my list, but I do have Ruben Tarangi.
Okay.
Why Tarangi? Go to the case for Tarangi, and then I'll give you mine, and then you can talk about Liafa.
Okay, Tarangi, didn't he have like a most improved award for Brisbane a couple of years ago?
And sixth man, same year.
Sixth man, yeah. And then he went to South East Melbourne, showed a bit, and now he can't make a shot. He struggles to dribble the ball. Like his
hand. I got a stat for you.
His handling is just terrible. Watch him trying to bring the ball up. I don't see what value he is adding, and I would steer well clear of him. Yeah, that's RTR.
On Tarangi, you can go to Liafa. I just want to bring up this one stat. Liafa. This is now the third season of Tarangi shooting sub 30% from three. Not the first, not the second, but the third. One, two, three strikes. Andrew Canyon, what happens after the third strike?
You're out.
You're out. Liafa, talk to me.
Liafa, his decision-making is shocking. The last two games the South East Melbourne have played have been lost because Liafa's decision-making at the death. He had bad point guard play in that first game, and then the second game he jacked up a corner three early in the clock that was inappropriate. Liafa is just he can't shoot, but he keeps thinking he can shoot. So, bah.
He's pretty trigger happy. And when you say decision making, he's only really got two decisions to make. Shoot it now or shoot it later. he is just a trigger man. And yeah, he has shot him out of games late. And, you know, we brought up stats, I think, on Twitter where it's, you know, Liafa 2 of 15 and then, you know, broke off such and such, such and such, such and such and such and such combined, you know, 2 of 5.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, get that ball. I have faith in Roman Brokoff. Get that ball to him. Even if he's shooting poorly, he's the guy who should take that shot. Yep. And I feel it's a bit of a fatal flaw in their construction. I think it's what's going to stop them, not from making the four, but certainly from probably being a serious contender to Melbourne or Perth or even now Sydney, is they put the ball in Adnam and Liafa's hands. And Munford is kind of that player, but not really. I think they overestimated those two.
Yeah. It never made sense to me why they signed them both again. I thought you need to pick between Adnam and Liafa. You take one.
I totally agree. And they didn't. And it was because it would have been a hard decision to make because they were both good players and you had to move on from one. No, it's they lack poise late, don't they? And the ball is just seemingly never in the person, the right hands where it needs to be. And Creek can sometimes have to go reaching for his shot, don't you find? And reaching for his plays. They got to work something out there where one of those two has to learn how to just progress the ball over the quarter court and make sure broke off and Creek see plenty of it. Yep. That's just me. But also you. Who else?
Top three now. I've got my top three. At number falling stock, Tyler Harvey, previously spoken about.
Yep.
Number two, Scott Machado.
Been injured is my only...
Yeah, but he's looked terrible on return.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I just don't... if you're talking falling stock, like a couple of years ago, he was... Man, you build a franchise stud around MVP. That guy.
Top three.
Yep. Now I'm like, let's see what else is on the market.
Bottom seasons. Yeah, fair enough.
Number one, falling stock, Finn Delaney.
This is the guy I had too. Down from, he's 10-6 this year, down from 16-7 on what was, and just looked way more impactful last season. What's happened? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Is he just checked out? Is it life on the road? He just doesn't seem to have the engine that he had. Yeah, he was like a Mitch Creek alternative.
Yes.
You know, it's like, do you drink Jim Beam or Jack Daniels? You know, do you have Finn Delaney or Mitch Creek? But now there's daylight between those two guys now.
I think the losing's just, he's cracked under grinding. I think, and him and Besson hate each other. I get the strong impression. We saw it a couple of weeks ago in a game where there was a mistake between the two of them and there was not even faked cordial point, my mistake. It was just like both were just looking at each other like it was their error. Yeah, New Zealand. I don't know what's going to happen with that team. Sorry to depart from the topic, but...
That's fine. You've hit my top of my list anyway. New Zealand.
What else have I got?
New Zealand.
I've got two guys.
Oh, you got two more. Okay, sorry.
Just quickly, Emmett Nah, spoken about. Quat Noi. That young, when you're in your mid-20s, you just shouldn't be hurt. And I hate to say that because, you know, these things happen, but this is not Jack White and Vasiljevic, you know, snapper Achilles tendon, an impact injury that's just shocking. It's sort of, you know, and then I often think of you, this hurt this young and this often, is it a little bit them punishing you for, because the NBL always, teams lie. They lie, always hurt when he's actually not. We see it all the time. So I think, is there something going on discipline wise, is he not taking care of his body? And then also just the simple fact of, we can't depend on you. You're always hurt. How can we pay you for 10 games when we know we're only going to get four?
Yep.
Stock's fallen. So that's me. But yeah, New Zealand, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I think they're at the point they need to blow it up and start all over again. And I think by blowing it up, I think I'm done. Shamir? I'm done with Shamir.
Does his volatility just not play in the NBL?
I think it just doesn't work. I think his volatility, his methodology, his approach to the game, it just doesn't seem to be working.
His record's terrible.
Terrible. Fair enough, he's not played at home. And I know that. So you've got asterisks all this stuff, right?
That's true.
But I just do I see it them being a playoff team again? I can't see how.
I'm going to disagree with you politely. The year they had Hobson, they were super entertaining. They were super good, and they just missed out on the finals by a Skerrick when they had their home games when they were healthy. And that was, who was on that team? Sec Henry, Hobson, Delaney, Abercrombie, Rob Lowe was playing well, a few others. I've been critical of them blaming all their mistakes on COVID, but... Two full seasons, totally on the road. But they have made some managerial mistakes. They move on imports like lightning.
Yeah,
Patterson and Hampton, and this season and Jeremiah Martin. They move it on pretty quick, and Matt Walsh, young guy, still figuring it out. Yeah. And it shows.
Yeah, and this whole I know they've got Besson not as a next star, but young kid. I just don't. And plus Diang, I just think you got too much youthful exuberance.
I'd be interested to see their spend. I want to know what they've spent and whether they get help from anywhere else and whatever, because where's the money coming from for them? They don't get home games.
That's a problem.
So I'm going to give them a pass just because it's now year two. And you look at the Wildcats. I mean, they lost that game to Sydney. They were right in it. And how many games have they played on the road in a row so far?
Six, seven
or something? A lot. So, New Zealand. We'll watch them again and figure it out. Let's jump on to look at round 13 and then we're out of here.
Yeah.
Unless you've got something, another topic you want to
bring? No, that's it. I've just got that's all I've got. The Phoenix Wildcats.
Yeah. Saturday at 8 o'clock Eastern. Yeah.
Just that'd be good. That'll be a good measure of where those two guys are at.
Totally. Who wins?
I think Wildcats get it. I still don't have enough faith in the Phoenix offense.
Phoenix, Perth. Final decision. Phoenix or Perth? Give me one.
Perth.
Why?
I just think that they don't that. That would be like their third loss in a row, I think, if they were to lose.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't think Perth really loses three times in a row.
And where did they last play? In Sydney, so the travel's minimal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's late. It's on Saturday, so they got plenty of time for that. Yeah, Perth will win that one. I'm going the same way for that reason. But Creek and Law, Vic Law, you're on notice, pal. Are you NBL first and second team like we think so or not? Prove it. All right. I think we're out here.
I think so. Good show. Lot to talk about.
Good show. Plenty to talk about. Hope you enjoyed it out there. If you want that bobblehead, do let us know. Send us a message on Twitter or wherever. I'll get it to you and enjoy it. And enjoy the round and Patreon. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for spending your time with us all. At Andrew Canyon, at NBL Pocket Pod. We'll talk to you again soon.